Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now. And if the elevator tries to break you down, go crazy. Punch a higher floor.
Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court. Every day in public elementary school classrooms across the country, children are taught ideas that conflict with their family's religious beliefs. Children encounter real and fictional women who forego motherhood and work outside the home. Children read books valorizing our nation's veterans who fought in violent wars. And children in Montgomery County read books introducing them to LGBT characters. Each of these things is deeply offensive to some people of faith, but learning about them is not a legally cognizable burden on free exercise. Adopting petitioners' view of the case would conscript courts into playing the role of school board, a task for which this court has recognized they are ill-suited.
This is Alan Schoenfeld. He is the attorney for the respondents, the Maryland County School Board that is being sued by the plaintiffs who say that their kids were forced to undergo gender ideology and sexual preference indoctrination in the classroom, from which they were not even notified nor allowed to opt their kids out of, even though previously they had been. The school board made this policy change a couple of years ago, and then they suddenly stopped allowing the opt-outs. And these folks are like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! you're not gonna read my kids, you know, gender ideology books one a day during Pride Month at the age of 6, 5, 4, even 3, pre-Ks included, up to the 6th grade, and not let me opt out of it? What in the world?" So what Alan Schoenfeld is saying is, look, every day in class, kids are exposed to ideas that religions, at least some religions, find morally offensive, religiously offensive. You know, there are pacifist religions who would object to military things, right? And there are, I mean, let's say anti-feminist religions that would object to women working outside of the home. Or pick a topic. There's all kinds of things. Now, how often is that done in K through 6? Well, that's a separate question, maybe. But what he's saying is, look, school boards have to be given the latitude to make decisions about what to teach, and you can't just cater to every single parent's personal religious views. Well, okay, you don't have to cater to it in the instruction. They're not asking to be done that. What they're asking is, just let us know, and if we're complaining about the content, allow us to opt out, which every school district in the universe does. But suddenly this one school district in Maryland does not want to do anymore.
This court has made clear that exposure to offensive ideas does not burden free exercise. And it has held that the government is not required to do its daily work in ways that make it easier for parents to raise their children in the faith. Given the diversity of religious beliefs in America, petitioner's rule would require courts to adjudicate an infinite variety of curriculum challenges brought by parents with different religious beliefs. That is not hypothetical, as 40 years of litigation on these issues makes clear.
But as 40 years of litigation also makes clear, it's something that school districts can do and can allow opt-outs. This parade of horribles, this slippery slope problem that all of a sudden everybody's going to be litigating everything. Well, we already have that. And so why not allow the opt-outs that usually solves this problem? And also, by the way, it's worth noting, people don't talk about this an awful lot, but I've said this many times. Education is fundamentally filled with values. It is fundamentally filled with culture and norms and controversial ideas. And it is, again, my view, it is inherently religious. The idea that it's going to be neutral is not neutral, because if you have a domain of life for, like, you know, I'm a religious person. If you have a domain of life in which you're not allowed to talk about God, that's no longer neutral. That's anti. And so the idea that you would have some neutral, clear space where the kids can just learn the things they're supposed to learn, it doesn't happen, and B, it's not possible to happen, because education is fundamentally tied up with all the things we teach kids about ethics and norms and fairness and kindness and sharing and all of that stuff, which are ethics questions, political questions, culture questions. So now he says, look, we're telling these kids they don't have to agree with transgenderism or with same-sex attraction. Unfortunately, the record does not bear that out, but here's what he said.
The books at issue here, five among hundreds in the curriculum, are meant to foster mutual respect in a pluralistic school community. MCPS makes explicitly clear that students do not need to accept, agree with, or affirm anything they read or anything about their classmates' beliefs or lives. The lesson is that students should treat their peers with respect.
Except that's not what the record shows. The record actually shows that kids are supposed to be disabused of their cisnormativity, their belief that birth gender, birth sexuality is a real thing. That being non-binary is, you know, somehow equal to everything else. They're supposed to believe that. You know, they're asked to figure out which pronouns fit them best. If they want to change them from day to day or week to week, that's allowed. Pride parades, drag queens, you know, again, K through six. We're talking about K through six here. And that stereotypes about who somebody should like or who somebody identifies is, these are things that are supposed to be, and this is to quote from the guidance from the school board, these are supposed to be disrupted. These are power hierarchies that are supposed to be not reinforced. We want to get them to think differently about these things. So this is most definitely indoctrination. And again, this case is not about whether the school board can indoctrinate. They can. This case is about whether parents are allowed to opt out of such indoctrination on religious grounds. They should be. That's why the Supreme Court is going to almost certainly spank the Maryland School District, the Montgomery County School District in this case. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Not seeing any delays. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So Justice Thomas, who always leads the questions, he's asking the respondents a question.
Couldn't you solve those differences simply by restoring the opt-out?
Your Honor, I think in this case, the record makes clear that the school district did try to honor the opt-out, and at some point it became infeasible.
Not true.
Certainly, there are circumstances where the right decision a school board might make in view of the particular needs of a community is to offer the opt-out. It's a different question from whether it's constitutionally required.
Yeah, it's not clear, because they make it sound like nobody opted out on the one hand, like it was rare cases, and on the other hand, that it became impractical when so many people were opting out. You kind of have to pick one or the other, and they can't. But he's actually right in a sense that the question of policy may or may not be a constitutional issue. It is clear that they should allow the opt-out. I mean, just ethically speaking, they should allow the opt-out. The question is whether the Constitution requires them to allow the opt-out. Whether it is a religious burden, whether it is infringing on the parents' religious rights to raise their children according to the dictates of their own conscience, that's the question. And the answer there is, well, they allow opt-outs for singing religious songs. They allow opt-outs for having books that might depict the Prophet Muhammad. They allow all sorts of opt-outs for other religious matters. You can't force a kid to engage in a, like, I think they had Saturday practices if they have a Sabbath-keeping belief. I mean, it's just, there's all kinds of things they allow you to opt out for. They just won't allow this particular opt out, even though the state legislature requires you to allow an opt out from the health class curriculum, sexual identity and orientation stuff. This is an English class, which is what makes it all the worse. In English class, they're just showing them this stuff in English class. No big deal. So Justice Gorsuch asked some of the right questions here.
And you say this is only about exposure. But we also have in the record some guidance materials for teachers, and one of which is if a student says that a boy can't be a girl because he was born a boy, a teacher is to respond that comment is hurtful and we shouldn't use negative words to talk about people's identities.
To an 8-year-old.
Is that exposure or is that something else for a 3 to 5-year-old?
So, 2 points on that, Your Honor. The first is that the record is seriously underdeveloped on whether and how these support materials are used. These were recommended potential answers for questions that students might pose. There's nothing in the record about whether any teacher...
Okay, let's say a teacher does as instructed, though, and uses that. Is that exposure or is that coercion in your world?
I think that, as Your Honor has recited it, it is exposure to particular ideas and teaching students to be civil in the classroom.
So a 6-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old raises an objection. I mean, that looks like the way a boy should dress. Or that is, I mean, girls should like boys. Or, you know, I don't understand how you can have your gender guessed at by a doctor, as the phraseology now goes, to have your gender guessed at. And if you raise those objections, the teacher is supposed to say, well, that's hurtful and that's not nice, and you should understand these other people's way of doing things. That's indoctrination. The representation that it is equal, that there's nothing to see here, that there's total equality between these views is a moral position. Now, it might be the right one. Many people think it's the right one. That's not the question. The question is, if parents object to that education about sexual ethics or sexual identity, again, at the ages of 3 through like 9 or 10 is what we're talking about, that the school district doesn't think it needs to tell parents it's teaching this, doesn't need to allow them to opt out if they somehow find out and object, that there is no interference with religion on this matter at all. It's genuinely an amazing case. In fact, you know, Justice Kavanaugh, it's kind of funny. Justice Kavanaugh actually lives in that district. And so his comment on this is pretty telling.
And then I guess I am a bit mystified as a lifelong resident of the county how it came to this.
It's like, I've lived in this district my entire life. How is this possible? What in the world?
Is the United States aware of any other school board in the country that's done something like this?
We aren't. I can't vouch for it not happening, but I think more relevantly, we're aware of many, many states and school districts that take the opposite tack and allow opt-outs far beyond any kind of constitutional rule that would be adopted in this case.
Right. And the problem is you have a bad actor here. It's inviting the Supreme Court to intervene. We'd prefer to just have you be reasonable, but you're not willing to be reasonable about this. And by the way, their answer sometimes on this has been, well, look, you can run for school board if you don't like it. You can attend the textbook policy committee meetings if you don't like it. You can raise objections to the books if you don't like them. You can, you know, attend the school board meetings if you don't like it. Well, you do understand that democracy is one thing, but the Constitution is there to prevent against the mob inflicting its views upon the minority. And again, they can teach that it's equal. They can teach that it's good and normal. Just like in another state, they could teach that it's not equal, not normal, that there's something inferior or abnormal about transgender identity or same-sex attraction. They can teach that too. That's allowed. The Constitution doesn't say you have to teach one or the other. But the Constitution does say that you have to allow for the religious expression manifested in parents who have a view about this to opt their kids out. And by the way, the argument that it's not addressed directly in the Constitution is actually kind of interesting, because I think this is an opportune case for the Supreme Court to jump in and say, you know what, let's talk a little bit about parental rights, which are not specified in the Constitution. But of course, remember, the Constitution says the things that are not specified are still held by the people or the states respectively. The 10th Amendment is very important here. It doesn't get a lot of attention, but I think parental rights are one of the clearest things that the Constitution protects without specifying. And this is an opportunity for them to flesh that jurisprudence out a little bit. But yeah, Kavanaugh was just stunned by this answer about, well, you can run for school board and that's how you solve this?
And you've mentioned a few times that the school board was democratically elected, democratically controlled, and being on the school board's a hard job. So, you know, we all respect that. But, you know, that can't be the end of it, right?
Absolutely not. No.
We're here to protect the liberty in the Constitution from the democratic excess.
Absolutely. And so that was not my intention at all. It was to respond to a specific question about what options parents have. And among them, I think, is resting control of the school board, implementing their preferred policies, or participating even in the curriculum selection process.
But not to just opt your kid out.
But Maryland was founded on religious liberty and religious tolerance, a haven for Catholics escaping persecution in England.
It's actually called Maryland. I mean, people say Maryland for Catholic safety, Maryland. So anyway, he's stunned by this as a lifelong Maryland resident.
Going back to 1649, I'm sure you're aware of this history. And Montgomery County has been a beacon of that religious liberty for all these years, with a strong Catholic population, a substantial Jewish population, lots of different Protestant. I mean, you drive down any Connecticut Avenue or George Avenue, you know, you see religious building after religious building. And I guess I'm surprised, given that this is, you know, this is the hill we're going to die on in terms of not respecting religious liberty given that history.
And yeah, and if you read his comments, you read Alito, Gorsuch, Thomas, Barrett's comments, or listen to them as I did, this is very clearly going to be at least a 6-3 strike down. They're going to tell the school board you guys are crazy. The only question is whether it'll be 7-2, 8-1, 9-0. I think Ketanji Brown Jackson is definitely a support the school board vote, because her argument is, well, you could also go get public, you get private education, you can homeschool. I don't know what the problem is, which is, I thought, pretty embarrassingly stupid line of reasoning by her, who I like generally. I actually like Ketanji Brown Jackson, even though she's very liberal. She's usually very smart on these things. I just thought she was completely off track on this yesterday, or last week when it was argued. 6:25 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Still reporting accident-free right now, but if you're traveling on 98 eastbound just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, we're starting to experience some slowdowns. I'd say about a 10 to 11 minute delay through the construction zone and congestion. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Sometimes I struggle to get to sleep. My body stopped for the day, but my mind is still running. So I take ZzzQuil.
ZzzQuil, the world's number one sleep aid brand, has a range of non-habit-forming products to fit you and your family's needs. Invest in a great night's sleep for the best you tomorrow.
I'm awake and ready to take on anything.
Better days start with ZzzQuil Nights. Explore our products at ZzzQuil.com. Use as directed. Keep out of reach of children.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Bands on the Beach, presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority, happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. Come out with a blanket or a lawn chair and relax and enjoy the sunset with your favorite bands. This week, it's the Smokestack Band. They're a trio of musicians that have been playing all over Pensacola for 50-plus years. Join them for a multicultural musical experience at Bands on the Beach. We'll see you Tuesday night at 7. Remember, no pets or glass allowed.
News Radio 92.3 gets you live programming every day from 5 a.m. until 7 p.m. on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Bruce, I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer? Our survey says God! Bing, ding, 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 ding.
Good morning, 6:27 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning. Four female students have been killed after a vehicle crashed into an after-school camp building in Illinois. State police there say the vehicle hit multiple people outside of the building and continued through and then hit even more. The four students who died range in age from 4 to 18. The driver of the vehicle was not hurt, but was taken to a hospital for an evaluation. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney's Liberal Party has won the Canadian election over Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. Monday's election was heavily influenced by President Trump's tariffs and comments about making Canada the 51st state.
It'll be 53rd by the time they get done with it. I mean, we can get Greenland. We can make Panama a state. I don't know who else is going to be involved.
We got a lot of
sure.
options. Yeah,
just
absolutely.
Not probably Puerto Rico. Go ahead.
And today is National Fentanyl Awareness Day, first observed 4 years ago by parents who lost their loved ones to drug overdoses. The goal is to remind people of the many deaths caused by fentanyl and to spread the word about naloxone, which can reverse those overdoses.
All right. Very good, David. 437-1620. President Trump does not want to make English the official required language of truckers. He just wants to enforce the law that already says that it is the official language that all truckers are supposed to know. The argument is an executive order that came out yesterday to increase enforcement of this. It's been something that's been allowed to be lax for a while. And the theory, you might say, well, that's just discriminating against the Spanish speakers. Well, John, you drive?
Yes.
What language are the signs in?
Hola. Oh, English.
Thank you. What language do the highway patrol and the emergency responders and the EMS and the fire and the police, what language do they speak?
Inglés.
Is it helpful if the truck drivers speak English?
Sí, señor.
That's the idea. Stop it. That's the idea, yeah. It's sort of been a rule that has just not been all that heavily enforced, and that's part of the executive order anyway. I have tickets to give away. I have tickets to give away. If you would like to go see, eat. Well, I mean, see and eat. I suppose you don't have to go blind. You can eat at Burger Battle by the Bay, which is a fantastic event. Outstanding. Basically, all kinds of different food truck burgers, and you can try as many as you like. Burger Battle by the Bay is May 3rd at Community Maritime Park, and I have a pair of tickets, 437-1620. Caller number 4 wins burger tickets right now. 437-1620.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump celebrates a busy first 100 days in office today with a rally in Warren, Michigan. He's also announcing some tariff relief and reimbursement for American automakers.
Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick says this deal is a major victory for the president's trade policy by rewarding companies who manufacture domestically while providing runway to manufacturers who have expressed their commitment to invest in America and expand their domestic manufacturing.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. Election results in Canada, the Liberal Party and Prime Minister Mark Carney hold on to power. He called for the vote when he took office last month. 4 girls, 4 to 18 years old, are killed when a car smashes into an after-school center in Chatham, Illinois.
3 that were struck outside of the building before the vehicle entered, and 1 inside.
That's Deputy Police Chief Scott Tarter. No word on any possible criminal charges for the driver or whether it may have been intentional. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 67 degrees. We've got sunshine this morning in Pensacola. A former Escambia County substitute teacher has filed a lawsuit against the school district claiming discrimination based on gender identity. Hayne Cypress McLeish, a transgender non-binary individual, is alleging that they faced discriminatory treatment and were terminated ultimately from their employment due to the use of the title mix and preferred pronouns. The lawsuit named several school district officials, including the superintendent and several school board members, and seeks damages, reinstatement, and a declaration that the district's actions violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. The school district has declined to comment on that litigation. The Escambia Children's Trust asking for an exemption from nearly $500,000 in taxes owed for last year. They're aiming to use that money to fund the county's summer youth employment program. Board Chair Mike Kohler tells the Journal that he would prefer the county manage that money rather than allowing the trust to dictate the spending. Executive Director Lindsay Cannon says that the tax dollars should support services for vulnerable youth as intended by voters in 2020. The issue will be discussed at the upcoming Board of County Commissioners meeting on May 1st. Well, scientists are working to crack the dolphin code. We learn more with Chris Bryan.
Now, Google is using artificial intelligence to understand how dolphins communicate. With the hope that one day humans could use the technology to chat with the mammals, Google has teamed up with researchers at Georgia Institute of Technology and the Wild Dolphin Project. That's a Florida-based nonprofit organization which has been studying and recording dolphin sounds for the past 40 years to build a new AI model called Dolphin Gemma. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Well, since a design was unveiled last week for those new toll booths on Pensacola Beach, we've seen a lot of community feedback, hundreds of comments online on the News Radio Facebook page. Most of those comments against the proposed design, the original one, which was a teal sign with a yellow beach ball sunrise. Hundreds of comments said it kind of looked like a bad amusement park sign. Well, it turns out that design was based on a website owned by Innisfree Hotels.
Finally, what happened was whoever was designing this came across that website, and from a marketing perspective thought, yes, let's keep everything cohesive. Let's put in the Pensacola Beach logo. Let's throw that on there. Let's make it all look the same for branding purposes. Obviously, when everything kind of came to, Innisfree owns the website. The logo is part of you know, the Innisfree Corporation.
And District 4 Commissioner Ashley Hofberger there, she says, at first glance, it appears the website may be municipally owned, but it's actually to promote the Innisfree hotels on the beach. She says the county, though, is working on a new design. They're hoping for a reveal on that sometime this week. Well, just over a week now until the deadline for air travelers to have a real ID. Now, most people probably already have the real ID, but it's the driver's license with the gold star on it. As of May 7th, you'll need one to get on an airplane, but that's not the only reason to get one if you don't have
it. Once again, May 7th, real ID or passport. That's the only thing that we're going to be able to get you on board Naval Air Station Pensacola to check out some of the areas of public interest.
That is NAS Pensacola Public Information Officer Bruce Cummins there, and the ID requirement extending to federal installations as well. So if you want to get on board the NAS, get to the Naval Aviation Museum, check out the Blue Angels practices, or go to the lighthouse. May 7th is the deadline for the real ID. It is 6:35, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right, brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call them today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. Still rolling accident-free right now, but the delays are piling up right now. If you're on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Park and Navarre Beach Bridge, going through almost to Windhaven Beach, about a 10 to 15 minute congestion delay there. So just be prepared for that. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. And now let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast with Brooke Richardson.
Plenty of sunshine today with a high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping to 71. Keeping that nice, beautiful weather around on Wednesday, partly sunny skies, high near 82. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 68. 20% chance of rain on Thursday with a high near 82. And by Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 70 degrees. Stay connected. Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. And right now we've got sunshine. It is 69 degrees in Pensacola, 70 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 reported still in Milton. Our next news at 7 o'clock. We've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Coca-Cola beat Wall Street's quarterly earnings and revenue estimates and largely reaffirmed its full-year outlook as it said it expects the effects of global trade conflicts to be manageable. Revenue came in at just over $11.2 billion versus the roughly $11.1 billion expected. General Motors beat Wall Street's first quarter expectations, but is reassessing its 2025 financial guidance and suspending any additional stock buybacks amid expected cost increases and industry uncertainty regarding President Trump's ongoing auto tariffs. Revenue came in at just over $44 billion, which is higher than the $43 billion expected. Sportswear giant Adidas said that President Trump's tariffs would eventually cause it to raise prices on all its U.S. products. The German company added that it was unable to confirm how much prices would rise by due to the uncertainty about tariff rates. Futures are currently mixed. Yesterday, the Dow Industrials gained 114. That's Your Money Now.
If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avacincaptad Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZERVAY.com.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. from running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR can help you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Pep Talk? What's Pep Talk?
It's the Pensacola Expert Panel.
Experts? Experts in real estate?
Yes, that's us, Angela. We are the Pep Talk for real estate.
What will we talk about, Will?
We'll talk about the real estate industry.
Well, we don't just want to answer our own questions.
We want to answer the listeners' questions. Tune in Thursday at 10 a.m. and we'll talk about real estate.
And whatever real estate questions you have.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Great to be back in Destin. It's great to be back in Northwest Florida. I am pleased to announce that for 2025, the Golf Red Snapper recreational season will last a total, and this is record-breaking, of 126 days. And that shatters the records. I'm going to flip that.
126 days. That's pretty good. That's a third of the year. Every third day, you can be snapper fishing, basically.
This is the longest combined season that's been available for anglers in Florida history since state management began. 2025 Golf Red Snapper summer season will open Memorial Day weekend, May 24th to 26th, then reopen June 1st to July 31st. This includes Father's Day and July 4th, obviously, which will be July 4th will be a kickoff for kind of the America 250 as we get into 2026. We'll also be adding the additional fishing days in the fall for Florida families and visitors to fish red snapper daily from September 1st through the 14th, then transition to three-day weekends through the end of the year. This includes holiday opportunities on Veterans Day, the Thursday through Sunday of Thanksgiving, and yes, even red snapper on Christmas for those who are so inclined.
I mean, that's great. That's fantastic. And I actually kind of loved his little comment aside. He said, you know, look, I don't go make this announcement on the East Coast because they get 2 days a year because it's federal waters. Like, it's terrible. But here, 126 days. That is fantastic. Now, one of the things that has been making the news, you've heard David kind of play in the clip, is I'm not a big fan of the hecklers getting attention. But in this case, it was the nature of the question that was yelled at the governor and then his response to it. It's very hard to hear the question, so I'm going to play his answer. I'm going to tell you the question. I'm going to play it again so you can hear it all in context. This is the clip of him responding, I think, in not the most elegant manner to a heckler.
But even with that, even with having that type of thing, we've always done the Hey man, we got a good, that's a fraud. You should be ashamed of yourself for peddling those bogus narratives. So we were able to get to.
So not the strongest moment for Governor DeSantis, but I get that dealing with hecklers is hard. Now, of course, he usually gets sheltered from hecklers because you only get into the press events, the press rallies. I kind of like press rally. It's a press rally, right? Because it's supporters, and occasionally there's some press people also involved, and they get to ask questions at the end. Anyway, so the question that was asked that you could not hear was, Channel 3 did a good transcript of this, protester, tell us about the slush fund you got, Governor, the $10 million slush fund.
Oh.
Which is the $10 million Centene bonus payment that went aside from ACA and went to the Hope Florida Foundation, by the way, not to Hope Florida. Hope Florida, they can't figure out whether this is an entity or whether it's an idea or whatever, but that's fine. That's one thing. It's the Hope Florida Foundation, which was meant to be the fundraising arm for Hope Florida projects. And the Hope Florida Foundation is the one that got the $10 million, split into two, gave five here, five there, and those wound up being back into the same place. Well, it's like $8.5 million in the end anyway, but it's in that same vicinity that got used by James Uthmeyer's PAC to lobby against the marijuana initiative. That's the question. That's the question. So anyway, so that's what he got asked about, and the governor's answer to that is,
Hey man, we got a good, that's a fraud. You should be ashamed of yourself for peddling those bogus narratives. So we were able
bogus
to get to
narratives. Well, I mean, I guess I'm should be ashamed of myself for peddling these bogus fraud narratives, because I think it's a real problem and I'd like to see more investigation. And as Alex Andrade has told us, he might be done with this, but the House is not necessarily done with this, and the Department of Justice or other law enforcement may not be done with this. Now, at the very end, he got asked by a reporter, did you have any more comments about that guy? Come on, ask a real question. Like, that's not the right question. Do you really think that the PAC James Uthmeyer oversaw got this money legitimately? That might be a decent question. How can you explain an entity that only raised a total of $12 million that it got a $10 million chunk of that and dispersed it in a no-bid way through kind of basically sole-source procurement through two entities to $5 million apiece that wound up being used for PAC money? Like, you know, ask a real question.
And to interrupt you earlier.
The guy needs to get on his medication, man. I mean, good Lord. That guy's got some serious issues.
Always attack the person and you're good. That's all you have to do. Now, Tanner Stewart, he did an interview, of course, Channel 3, Tanner Stewart, did an interview with the governor, and he asked, again, I don't think this is exactly the right question, but he did at least bring it up. We'll come back to this in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now, but we're seeing some delays that are starting to get a little worse right now. If you are traveling on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, headed almost to Wind Haven Beach, about a 15 to 17-minute delay through that area just due to construction and congestion, so be prepared for that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. If you're thinking about that next vehicle, trying to decide where to go, who to buy from, what to get. In fact, honestly, I think a lot of times we kind of decide maybe to go test drive a couple of cars, and then we pick from among those. That's fine. I mean, it's not a terrible approach, but maybe go to Frontier and just say, you know, I'm looking for a minivan. What do you recommend? You know, what sells well? What are you selling quickly that people seem to really like? What holds its value well? What features do people like or dislike? And you can, of course, ask that about a truck. Ask that about a sedan. Whatever car you're kind of category you're looking for, ask them for their input, because they're going to see hundreds, even thousands of cars, and they'll give you some advice. You know, this is what people seem to really like, or this holds its value well, or this brand usually holds its value well, but in this generation you're looking at, these years, it's actually not doing that great. Because they're the experts. They know a lot more than you do, and they can kind of help give you that guidance. Don't think of them as the adversary. Think of them as an ally, as an advisor, as guidance for car buying. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. So back to Tanner Stewart's interview that he did with the governor, about a 7-minute interview. Watch this. And, you know, he doesn't ask the specific question about the Hope Florida Foundation and the money and the details, but he does ask.
Representative Andrade's in our district. He's supported you for many years. Why now do you think that he's going against your policies?
You'd have to ask him. I mean, the reality is we have had immense success in the state of Florida. Obviously, I was reelected by the biggest victory any Republican's ever been elected in the governor's race. We've continued to point massive points on the board, 23-24. I think what's happened, for whatever reason, in this more recent legislative session, the House leadership, and I think he's aligned with them, with the speaker, you know, their view is to try to sabotage the success that Florida's had.
Really? this is what we're going with. Alex Andrade is trying to sabotage the success that the governor has had. That's the answer? That's your explanation. That's all this is about.
Not listening to the people. They're not following through on what they said they were going to do. And in fact, they've tried to do a lot of initiatives to actually undercut a lot of the success we've already had. I mean, at Pensacola State, I talked about the higher ed reform. You know, they got almost every Democrat to vote for that. So wait a minute. If you're supportive of our efforts of getting woke out of higher education and you're doing legislation and it's supporting what I was doing, the Dems would never vote for that, right? Because they want the universities to be more liberal. So why is it that they're getting all these Democrats to support?
Yeah, I guess it's just because they've sold out. They're a bunch of, you know, DeSantis-hating liberal sellouts, and all they want to do is thwart all the success the governor's had. Or in a bill that Michelle Salzman sponsored that ran 104-8. 104 votes for. Okay, it could be that the Democrats are voting for this because it's a liberal bill. That's possible. I mean, you know, that's within the realm of logical possibility. It could also be that, Governor, you did something so misguided in the people that you put up for the board of UWF and for putting up Joel Rubman for PSC that we had to come back with a reform that changed how we do board of trustees appointments. And it was so obvious that what you did was wrong, and it was so obvious that this remedy was correct, that 104 members of the legislature voted for it, and only 8 voted against it. A well-passed supermajority veto override number. It could just be these liberals attacking you, sir. You know, could just be that they're all against the progress and success of your governorship, and that's all it is. Bunch of liberals, bunch of sellouts, peddling false narratives, you know. People that just can't seem to figure out anything that's true in the world.
Hey, man, we got a good, that's a fraud.
Well, something's a fraud. Not sure which thing is a fraud here. And again, for those of you who are just tuning in, what is this show, this anti-DeSantis liberals? Okay. Just, again, for because you never know. I never know who catches what, okay? I have admired, respected, cherished, celebrated in the strongest possible terms Governor DeSantis's governorship. I will never not be grateful for what he did during COVID. I think he did amazing things during COVID. And I have celebrated his higher educational reforms. All of them. Until this. And until he just digs in his heels and won't acknowledge the problems. Either when it comes to the Hope Florida Foundation scandal, which is not dying, or when it comes to the higher education stuff and the Board of Trustees issues, which he is just not answering. It's amazing. So, and to lash out, as I kind of explained yesterday, in this ad hominem way against, you know, Alex and Michelle and attack them personally. I mean, it's as soon as somebody engages in personal attacks, you know they've lost. And he's smart enough to know that. If you had the receipts, you'd give the receipts. When you don't have the receipts, you engage in personal attack. That's how it works. He's very smart. He knows this. 652 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
You take care of your car, right? So why not give your auto loan some TLC? Refinance an existing loan from another institution with PennAir Credit Union and lower your interest rate by up to 2%. Plus, you can skip payments for the first 90 days. In addition to a better rate, you'll enjoy convenient banking and a friendly local team always ready to help. Learn more at PennAir.org/auto-refi. That's PennAir.org/auto-refi. All loans are subject to approval. Offer valid on loan applications submitted between April 1st and June 30th, 2025 only. Call toll-free 1-877-4-PENN-AIR for complete details.
Ready to get out of the cycle of renting but think home ownership is too far out of reach? Pensacola Habitat for Humanity's Community Land Trust makes it more affordable than ever. Here's how it works. You own the home but not the land, lowering your mortgage and monthly payments, making home ownership attainable for more people. And the best part? You still build equity and generational wealth. Learn more. Visit PensacolaHabitat.org and take the first step toward owning your own home.
Oh no, stomach issues again?
Stomach issues?
Who are you?
Your pancreas. I could be the real reason for your diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose oily stools.
I thought it was my stomach.
People often do, but any of these symptoms could mean having a condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. With EPI, the pancreas doesn't release enough enzymes to break down food, but EPI is manageable. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and speak with your doctor. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Man, he's just like trippendicular, you know?
Good morning, 6:54 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We haven't talked at all about this FA-18 that slid over the side off of the carrier yesterday. Holy smokes. This is kind of a wild story. So The details are just a little bit unclear at this point, but I don't think so unclear that we can't, you know, figure out what happened. The aircraft carrier was in the Red Sea. It seemed to be undergoing an attack by the Houthis, the Harry S. Truman. And in the hangar, which is below decks, right, you have the flight deck is up above, and then below decks you have the hangars. That's where they keep all the planes all the time. And then the way you get a plane from below decks to up above is the elevators. Those four on this configuration of aircraft carrier, big platforms that go up and down between the top and the lower decks, right? You've seen them. If you've seen Top Gun, if you've seen Maverick, you've seen, you know, any aircraft carrier pictured ever. Or if you've built them like I've built, I don't know how many aircraft carrier models, probably 10 in my life. It's terrible. I have an addiction. It's bad. Anyway, so they were towing this vehicle with those yellow bulldozery looking things, tractors. They were moving it around underneath. And apparently in the pivot to avoid an attack is what the release indicates that CNN reported. It caused the plane to slide. The plane slid and slid right out the door. And out into the ocean, or well, into the sea, and is now gone. Depending on the configuration of the plane, it's $50 to $70 million, they say. But you know, so nobody, the different numbers you're seeing is because nobody's quite sure what the exact, you know, equipment, model, upgrades, all that stuff. Luckily, only one person was hurt. I think I read a thing where the actual sailor who was driving the towing vehicle had to dive off, basically. But pretty scary stuff. The only question I have about this is, I don't know what the exact scenario is, but I don't think of an aircraft carrier doing like cobra moves in the water, you know, serpentine to avoid an attack. That's a weird thing to me. Maybe possible. If the attack got that close, that they were in the process of, because you can't move it that quickly anyway. It's just kind of an odd thing. But for it to be such a strong motion that it caused the plane to slide sideways off and out into the water. That's wild. We had, of course, a Navy cruiser, USS Gettysburg downed an F-18 mistakenly. Friendly fire incident, that happened. And then in 2022, the Truman had another one where they lost a Super Hornet in the waters of the Med when the jet was blown overboard due to unexpected heavy weather. I am guessing that one was from topside on the flight deck, but I don't know the particulars of that case. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Frontier Motors, the only dealer Dave Ramsey recommends in Pensacola. That's Frontier Motors on Beverly Parkway. Still rolling accident-free right now, but experiencing those delays on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge. Expect about a 10 to 15-minute delay through that area. Also, I-10 eastbound between Pine Forest and Highway 29. We're just seeing some congestion delays, about a 5 to 7 minute delay through that area. Other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
You say it so peacefully. Oh, just a 5 to 7 minute delay.
That's it.
It's okay.
It's all good,
drive
my friends.
On. Everything's fine. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David? Did we just become an NPR affiliate? What happened?
Sure sounds like it.
Where's my you better knock it off before we get defunded. Music, our tambourines and pipes, you know, to carry us along.
My paper tambourine.
Go ahead, sir.
John, play me in with the flute. University of Southern California. University of Southern California basketball recruit Elijah Arenas will be discharged from the hospital soon. An announcement made yesterday on a podcast co-hosted by his father, former NBA star Gilbert Arenas. The younger Arenas was involved in a Tesla Cybertruck crash last week. He was placed in a medically induced coma after inhaling a large amount of smoke. The House of Representatives is taking a step to protect Americans from deepfake and revenge pornography. Lawmakers approving the Take It Down Act, which provides protections for victims of non-consensual sexual image sharing and also AI-generated pornography.
On this vote, the yeas are 409, the nays are 2.
And that now goes to President Trump's desk. The Senate passed it back in February.
This is great news, by the way. Taking down porn deepfakes. I mean,
absolutely.
Good. Thank God. Who's the 2? Well, that might invite censorship. Resign. Again, anyway, go ahead, David.
And a suspect has been arrested for allegedly stealing the bag that belonged to Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem. Christian Sanzana appeared in court in Miami Beach. He had a fake California ID and an immigration hold. The first suspect A Chilean national who was also in the country illegally was arrested over the weekend. Noam's bag was taken from a restaurant in Washington, D.C.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Oh, man, I wish we don't have time to get into that. I have a topic I want to get into with you, John, but I don't have time to do it right now. So you'll just have to wait. Do it a little bit later. It'll be all right. Hey, the Navy Days Gala is coming up May 9th, put on by the Penn Air Credit Union at the museum, Night at the Museum Gala. Get tickets for the black tie event at PensacolaNavyDays.com. Pensacola Navy Days, that's going to be fantastic again this year. Burger Battle by the Bay coming up May 3rd at Maritime Park. Also, a great event. In the morning.